Today on Real Radio.
Everything regarding entropy or the second law of thermodynamics is so true to the things that you and I think is constant. It's slowing down and time is running out. That is true. As a Christian, what about our time? How much time do we have?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a relatively lengthy paragraph in chapter 10. The first 16 verses tell us about Jesus empowering and sending out 70 unnamed individuals. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Time's Up.
Luke chapter 10. Remember, last time together, Jesus is setting his face like flint towards Jerusalem. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem. 3 years of ministry with the disciples throughout the Galilee region, Jesus has been exposing, sharing, revealing the very heart of God. Now he heads to Jerusalem. And in this six-month journey downward, there will be ministry all along the way. But Jesus, as you remember, in chapter 9, toward the end, he's stepping up the pace. The tempo of what he's doing is increasing. He's got his heart set. I know this sounds strange, but he's got his heart set on Jerusalem because Jerusalem is where the cross will be. Jerusalem is where salvation will be accomplished for you and I. Jerusalem will be the place. Isn't it amazing that Jerusalem has always been the focal point of the world? And certainly it's where Jesus Christ was crucified but rose again from the dead. It's the place from Genesis to Revelation, Jerusalem. The Bible warns that in the last days, before Christ returns to earth, Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone to the nations of the world. Is not Jerusalem a burdensome stone to the nations of the world right now? Isn't it amazing? No airport, no river, no industrial, no oil. There is no reason why Jerusalem should be the focal point of the world. Yet God says it is, and so does the news. As Jesus heads there, a clock begins to tick. He's heading to the cross. And so as we look to this study, he's going to be sharing with us the things that concern him. Church, please, don't miss today. Don't miss this message. And don't look to me about, you know, if I can hold your attention. Your attention is your responsibility, not mine. I want you to hold your own attention and listen to these words because they're so very important. So today might be really serious because it's serious stuff. We're talking about a message entitled, Time's Up. Time's Up. 6 more months of Jesus' life and he goes to the cross. Soon after that, he'll be heading back to heaven. Time's up. What does that mean? Hey, have you noticed, by the way, on Friday night, I went to a home Bible study that was being hosted by some of our junior hires. There must have been 20 or 25 of our junior high kids. That's a one. You want to be reminded how old you are? Go hang out with some junior hires. And in the message, we came to this issue about time. I don't remember how it came about, but we talked about time. And I asked the kids, and remember this, all of us. I asked the kids, how is time with you? What's time? When I say time, what do you think? And they all agreed. All the junior hires agreed. Time just goes by so slow. And I go, yeah, like when? And they go, school, the school year. It goes by so slow. And I said, enjoy it now while you got it. And in the room, there were some of the youth pastors who are just really old guys, like 21, 22. And they said, yeah, you guys, you better listen to them because it really gets shorter as you get older. And so I said, hey, what are you talking about? I'm almost 50 years old. Man, I get up and the day's over. Aren't you? You blink and the calendar's flying by. It's crazy. Time is moving. But every moment that you and I think about time, we need to remember something. It's running out. You know something? Those of you who are involved in physics, it's pretty wild to realize that time is a physical property of this universe. Everything physical wears out and runs out, including time. Stanford laboratories are starting to show more and more data how light is even slowing down. We always thought that light was a constant. Light is slowing down. Everything regarding entropy or the second law of thermodynamics is so true to the things that you and I think is constant. It's slowing down and time is running out. That is true. As a Christian, what about our time? How much time do we have? Yes, the Bible says that God has numbered our days. Did you know that? Every one of us in here this morning, God has a number of days that you and I will live. You're not going to live one day before or after the time that God has decreed. You say, what's my number? I don't know. We cannot know. God knows. He keeps that in his sovereign care. But until my number is up, until your number is up, that's where that term comes from, by the way. His number was up. Comes from the Bible. Until that time is up for us, we need to be busy, as Jesus said, about our Father's business. Amen? Amen. So let's look to our study this morning entitled Time's Up. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, meta tauta, it is in the Greek, meaning after the things of chapter 9, this is what happens. The Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. In other words, this is a front team. Then he said to them, verse 2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. And if not, it will return to you. Verse 7. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God is near you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day, that is the day of judgment, actually, for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, you will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Strong words. Time's up is the title of the message for this reason. Number one, because there's a work that is to get done. There's a work to be done, Christian, and God has set a timetable for opportunity. Jesus had said earlier on that we must do the works of God while daylight is shining, because night, and he's speaking spiritually, nighttime is coming when no man can work. We have been given opportunities. Church history shows that throughout the millennium of time that God has given opportunities at certain times for us to respond. In fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus put it this way. Behold, I have set before you an open what? Door. And that we're to go through those doors. He even says, I've opened it and no man can shut it. When God opens up an opportunity, Christian, we are to seize that opportunity. Now, this sounds so foreign in the time and the age in which we live. We need as a church, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying us, the church around the world. We need to get hot. We need to get urgent. We need to get, as it were, pumped up in the spirit of Schwarzenegger. Pumped up about the things of God again and get very, very active. Because why? Because every day that you and I wake up, we are one step closer to either A, losing an opportunity, or getting closer to an opportunity, but certainly to the end of time. And we don't have to think about some grandioso apocalyptic event. Just you and I are coming to the end of our time in this world. None of us want to talk about that, but it is true. Did you know you woke up this morning 24 hours older than you were yesterday? How do you feel? How do you feel about that? I had an assistant pastor say last week, can I ask you a question? Yes, of course. Are you sore and hurt in the morning when you wake up? I said, it's been like that for years. That's why God invented Advil and all that stuff. Remember when we were little kids, we had those little stretchy necklaces with all the candy on it? I've got one with Advil, aspirin. You just chew on it as needed. Yes, it's great going old and great. You know what? The older we get, heaven is all the better, huh? Bring it on. You know? Plus, you stink more. I got more cologne on me now than ever. Why? The older I get, I got to put more formaldehyde on my body. It's a sick thing, huh? Come on, Lord. Time's up because there's a work to get done. Number one, this kind of work is an appointed work. God appointed the work to the believers. Now, yes, I understand in the context of our study today and from Matthew's gospel, these are 70 who have been affected by Jesus. They've come to faith in Jesus. He's going to send them out to do great miracles. Listen, this is not, by the way, the 12 apostles. This is 70 other guys and gals. We don't know who they are. We don't know if they're guys and gals. Are they all guys or some of them girls? We don't know. It doesn't matter. We don't know their names. We're not supposed to know their names. All we do know is that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How did that happen? Many scholars believe that these 70 people who Jesus appointed to this task, because time is urgent, were people who were affected by his ministry. That these are people who, A, for example, had been risen from the dead. Well, that ought to be quite a story to tell. Knock on somebody's door. Hi, Jesus raised me from the dead. It could have been those who were healed or cleansed of leprosy. Whoever they are, their eyes had been opened, their ears had been unstopped, their life had been changed, and now they are out to serve the Lord and Jesus sends them out. I want to suggest to you that if your life has been affected by the Lord, he wants to send you and I out also. Don't this morning say, gosh, Pastor, that's not for me. That's for guys like you to go tell people. God didn't do anything in my life. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Your testimony about what Jesus Christ has done, you got to sit down and write it down. You got to actually write it down. And then tell somebody. Hey, I'll let you in on something that's not in my notes, so I'll probably mess it all up. Last week, several of us had a chance to listen to Waleed Shubat. Do you know who Waleed Shubat is? Well, he came to the campus of UC Irvine, and he used to be a former PLO terrorist. And he has killed people. And he brought two of his friends. And one guy, at the age of 7 years old, killed his first Jew in the Golan Heights when he was 7 years old. And the other guy killed 247 Jews in Israel. In fact, because of that, he's not allowed to come into the United States. He lives in Canada now. These guys were killers. Islamic terrorist killers. And they're giving their story about America. And I tell you, it was very powerful. America needs to wake up, they were saying. America doesn't understand. In fact, the one speaker came out. He went to in Gaza. He went to a combat camp at the age of 3 years old. And by the age of four, shot his first AK-47 at the age of seven, strapped C4 onto a sheep and led it into an area of some Jews and then ran away and blew up a bunch of people at 7 years of age. And this guy walked out on the stage and had a nice suit, by the way, really nice. He came out, I said, that's a nice suit. He came out and he laid right on the stage, laid down. What is he doing? And he said in his broken English, this is America. And then September 11th, America got up and pressed the snooze button and went back to sleep, and this is America. And he went off to say how his former brothers are planning nasty things against America right here in our own soil. And he says, you're asleep. Listen, when an ex-terrorist tells you, you better wake up, you better wake up. It was very serious. But at the end, 2 hours later, this is a non-Christian event. UC Irvine. It was time. They opened up the microphones for questions and answers. And this woman came up to the microphone and she said, I want to know what changed you guys from being terrorists and killers to speaking against terrorism. What changed you? And this one man who killed 247 Jews leaned over and put his elbow on his knees. And he said, "Do you really want to know?" And she said, "I'm asking." And he said, "Then I'm telling." And it's like, okay. You ready for this? Everyone's really quiet. And he said, "I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And you could, you know, you're clapping, but it wasn't, you're clapping now, but it wasn't much clapping then. And who's going to tell him he's wrong, you know? What's my point? His testimony. He said, get out there and tell people there's one way to change a terrorist. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. That's what he said. I tell you, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now. It was awesome. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Listen, there's a work to be done. Time is running out, and God has appointed you and I as God's people to tell our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends about the fact that God loves them. And listen, yes, there's a heaven, but let's be honest. Let's stop pussyfooting around. There is a heaven. Jesus came and died on the cross so that nobody would have to go to the hell that the Bible warns us about. Let's stop trying to hide that. The Bible says it's real, and it's where people go that reject God. He doesn't want anybody to go there. God values me more than I value me. God values you more than you value you. And he went to the cross for you and I. Jesus says, take this message and tell the world. And one of the great powerful parts about this message is to tell people what Jesus Christ has done for you, has done for me. So it's an appointed work, and that's a wonderful thing. Number two, it's a great work. It is a great work. He said, verse 2, and he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." Isn't that always the case, huh? "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." There's some key words here that we have to touch on or else we won't get it. Number one is the word great. Will you circle that in your Bible? The word great means something monumental. The word in the Greek means for great, something that is overwhelming, something that is not possible. I like that. Jesus is saying, go do it. But it's not possible. Oh, great. What are you asking me to do? Something that's not possible. Well, then why do it? Because it is possible when God is behind it. What is it that we're talking about that is impossible but possible with God? Jesus said it in another place. He said, because I go to the Father, you will do greater works than I have done. Now, I've always struggled with that verse. How can we do greater works than what Jesus has done? He's not saying a word about miracles. It's about telling the world who their Savior is. When a soul like Salim or Walid Shubat is converted and comes to Christ, that trumps all miracles. I'm sorry, blind and now you see, that's wonderful. But a soul that is anti-God or lost from eternity, that has a change of heart and mind and now will be, as it were, a gem in the crown of Christ in heaven forever, that is a miracle. And that he's entrusted to us to tell people, not religion, not join this church, not sign up, not this, that, or the other, not give your money. It's nothing. For us to extend to them the offer of eternal life. He's entrusted that to us. That's amazing. It's an overwhelming work. And then he says to pray. It's so overwhelming that we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. That is an amazing request. Jesus said, pray. We need to be praying. Oh, God, open up the doors. Let us, Jesus, please, let us be involved in this work to reach the lost. And then send out. I'm sorry, this is a great word. See the word there? That he would send out laborers. This word means to thrust out or to push. It is a violent word in Greek. Watch this. Jesus is saying, all right, here's the thing. Pray and get ready, because here's what's going to happen. You got a message, you got a story to tell somebody, go! You know what the word means? In thrusting someone out, it implies that they are ready, they're suited up and equipped to go. It's the exact same word that we've all seen maybe in like Saving Private Ryan or some military channel thing or some war movie where the plane's flying along and the back door of the plane opens up and there's like 50 paratroopers in the back of the plane. You ever seen those kind of World War II stories? You know, a story. I'm talking about a story. Some of our guys are doing this right now in real life. What am I talking about? Door opens up, and what happens? A light turns green, and there's a sergeant there, or someone's there of rank. He's strapped onto the airplane, by the way. He's got a little safety latch. He's hooked on. And there's this two rows of 25 soldiers. They're completely dressed for battle. And you've seen the shows. You've seen the moments when he goes, "Ready!" And they're all looking. Light turns green. And what does he say? "Think about it! Pray about it!" No. He says, "Go! Go! Go!" And you know what he does? He grabs the first guy. And that guy could yell, "Mama!" It doesn't matter. Go, wham, go, wham. And even if you're willing to go, he still grabs you and he still throws you. That's his job. Go, go, go. That's the Holy Spirit's job in the life of the believer. Listen, you may or may not be aware of this, but at the end of this service, the Spirit of God is waiting for you at the door. And over our doors, it says, through these doors, you enter the mission field. Where is that? Out there. The Holy Spirit's going to grab your heart, and he's going to say, "Go, go, go." Go where? To a lost world. You can cry mama all you want. You can say, I don't know about that. He says, go. Because, listen, if you're a Christian, he's touched your life. I know you and I don't think he's touched us much. Our evaluation of ourselves is always weak. But when we turn, by God's appointment, he turns us this week into somebody's life. Somehow we come in contact with someone, and we're praying, "Oh God, you know, I heard that message on Sunday. It's driving me nuts. When are you going to tell me to go? Oh God, please don't tell me to go." He's already told you to go. That'll make you miserable all week. He's already told you to go. And so, Lord, okay, now show me, show me. I'm scared. Go easy on me, God. And I have to tell you, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And so you go. And God at your job, God at your neighborhood, God wherever will open a door, and you're going to know. You're going to have this thought in your head. Could this be the door that he's opening? If you have to stop and ask, it is. Trust me. God, could this be you? Mm-hmm. It's him. And he will give opportunity. It's a wonderful thing. It's terrifying, yes, because God gets all the glory. It's impossible for us to do. But he does it. And he does it very well. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." What a great thing that is. In John chapter 4, verse 34, down to verse 38, Jesus, in one visit to the region of Samaria, he went to that well called Jacob's Well. It's in Samaria. And you remember the story. The woman came, and she is talking to Jesus. But when she finds out who he is, she goes back to town, back to the city, and tells the people of Samaria, "I have found the Messiah."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Time's Up. It's a look at the first 16 verses of Luke chapter 10. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, the book of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to remind you of a couple of outreaches we have here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Journey with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and click on the link, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you're enjoying our radio and television outreaches, drop us a line and let us know. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.